Hey guys, long time no talk. How you been? I'm great. I'm happy to be here. And it's freezing where I am. I'm still in the woods, and we've had this major winter storm situation, which just really means that we've got sub-zero wind chills. And the weather was just bad enough yesterday that I had to cancel my hair appointment, but not bad enough to really be fun. So that's where we're at. But I'm happy to be here. I've got a lot to discuss with you today. Yes. So let's get into it. Episode 35. I've had some technical snafus in recording this podcast this morning. I should have already been done, but I'm not because, once again, as is a recurring theme on this show, nobody helps me and I'm doing everything by myself. Yes, I'm my own producer, my own sound engineer, and host and writer. So, you know, cheers to me. I love that Snoop Dogg video that I've seen a million times on Instagram where he says, I'd like to thank me. I'd like to thank me for taking no days off. I'd like to thank me for doing all this work. That's the vibe. I'd like to thank me. So yeah, since I had to cancel my hair appointment yesterday, I'm wearing my magic hat yet again today. I think if you follow me on Instagram, you've seen me posting about this hat already. And I think people are probably wondering why I'm wearing this hat so damn much right now. But the fact of the matter is that I need to get my hair done, okay? I need to get my hair colored. I got to get my roots done. So that's the main reason. And also because this hat is wonderful and it's warm and it's fuzzy and it's fluffy and it's magical on top of that. So let me just tell you the story really quick about this hat. I ordered this hat off Amazon, and it's just a fuzzy bucket hat. I typed in fuzzy bucket hat on Amazon, and the reason I did this was because I realized that hats are an underutilized tool in my expression of self, expression of personhood. And I feel like, you know, I wanna express myself with hats more. And it's the perfect time to do it. It's cold as shit. Let's see about a hat. So I got this hat, and it's like what I call a Jamiroquai hat. If you remember Jamiroquai and that amazing music video, it's kind of in that genre, the Jamiroquai genre. So it's not something that I purchased and wear because I'm trying to look attractive. It's just, it is what it is. And I like the hat. So the first day I got it, I took it out for a spin. I wore it to the grocery store. And I'm standing there looking at chips. And this guy walks by and he's like, your hat is so cute. And I was like, oh, thanks. You know, cool. Nothing to it. So then I'm looking at the yogurt, and another guy comes by, and he's like, I love your hat. And I'm like, thanks. And, you know, that was shocking to me straight away, because I'm like, I did not expect men, first of all, to be the people coming up and talking to me about the hat. I didn't expect anyone to come up and talk to me about the hat, but I figured, you know, for men to be commenting on the hat was a bit of a surprise. So it just continued from there. Every time I wear it and I go out, people will not stop talking to me about this hat. And I feel like that's a pretty powerful statement in and of itself because, you know, you see somebody's hat and you admire it, but to feel compelled enough to actually go up to the person and say something about the hat, that's a pretty significant drive internally on those people. So then I go on this trip to Vegas last weekend and I'm wearing the hat, you know, like as soon as I walk in the airport, people are commenting on the hat. People on the plane are commenting on the hat. We get to Vegas and I'm standing in the hotel lobby and this guy comes up and starts talking to me about the hat. He keeps talking to me and then he asks me for my phone number. And I'm like, is this really like, is it a tool for communication for these people? But it's not, because there are plenty of people who have talked to me about the hat who clearly had nothing to gain. They just love this hat. And I think there's something magical in the air. When I wear this hat, there's something is stirring in the universe. And this hat is a conduit for the magic that's swirling. So I feel like it's a really good omen for 2023. And I'm looking forward to reaping the fruits of the swirling magic that the hat has ushered into my world. And I guess I'll like post the link maybe to the hat. If you're inspired by this hat story, let me just drop the link to the hat in case you want to purchase your own magic hat. And if you do, I would encourage you to show me, send me pictures of you wearing the hat and tag me, you know, in your hat pictures. And, you know, let's just see where this goes. This could be a magical hat movement. You heard it here first, the magical hat movement. So I need to talk a little bit about my Vegas trip because this was the first trip to that city for me being sober. And the last time that I went there was in 2009, and I was definitely in the midst of my drinking career. I was on the upswing in my drinking career. I was not quite at the peak of my drinking career, but I was definitely working my way up through the ranks. So on that trip, I was drinking like from morning to afternoon. And then by late afternoon, I was too sleepy to continue on. So I would have to go back to the room and go to bed. But this trip was different. And it was a big moment for me because I was figuring out, you know, what I'm going to be like as a sober person out in society, you know, because I have been largely locked away in the woods, keeping my head down, focused on my work for the last 2 years since I've been sober. So this was a big opportunity for me to negotiate how I'm going to interact with the real world. And, you know, I've been places, I've been like on work trips and, you know, stuff like that since I've been sober, but I've never been on like an actual vacation weekend and in a place like Vegas of all places where, you know, it's Sin City. Okay. What sins are you going to commit while you're in Vegas? For me, my sin was gambling, and I don't view gambling as a sin because I think gambling is wonderful. So I really enjoyed my time in Vegas, and I think it's a great city. It's very fun. It's very stimulating to the senses. And, you know, it was very easy for me to stay sober on this trip, maybe perhaps surprisingly so. But I was just minding my business, you know, like going down to the juice bar and I would get a wellness shot. I would get a cold pressed juice. I would get a cashew honey latte. I would, you know, get like an amazing taco. I would just, you know, do whatever. And there was plenty to do. I would go shopping. Everything was so much fun, and it didn't require drinking to be fun. And I was really surprised to see that when it came time in the evening to go to dinner and drinks, there were mocktails already on the menu at a lot of these places. And, you know, I realize most bartenders don't mind. If you ask, can you make me a mocktail? They'll whip something up. And that's what they did. On the places that I went that didn't have mocktails on the menu, or if I was there for a while and I had already tried the mocktails and I wanted something new, they had no problem making me something new. And, you know, it was really easy for me. When the table ordered shots, as they do, you know, at a dinner in Vegas, I just passed mine to the people sitting next to me. And they were very happy to receive these extra shots of liquor. And, you know, I would have too back when I was drinking. If somebody would just be passing me free shots, I would love that. So it worked out for everyone. So yeah, I just want to encourage you guys to give it a go, give it a whirl. If you've been thinking about it, give it a try, being sober out in the world, and see how you feel. And I do want to add that I think it really helped me that I have been in the woods for, you know, the bulk of the time that I was getting sober. And I've been sober enough now, away from people and away from these situations, that I'm really strong and equipped to handle it now. So maybe not if you're in the early stages, it won't be as easy. But after the first 6 months, everything became a lot easier for sure. And now I'm like, I'm unstoppable now. And I got to see the Michael Jackson Cirque du Soleil show at Mandalay Bay the last night I was in Vegas. And it was so good. I almost just burst into tears like when the show started, for no reason, except that I was just overwhelmed, I think, by being in the presence of this kind of artistry in person again. It's been a long time since I got to see a show on that level of professionalism and, you know, astonishing visuals and the music and everything. It was so, so amazing. And they do have a hologram of Michael Jackson that comes out in the end and dances with the people on stage. So that's pretty sweet. And I love seeing the people just fly through the air like they do on the Cirque shows. And we stayed at Mandalay Bay, where that show is, on the last night we were in Vegas. And I didn't realize until I was lying down to go to sleep that night that that was the hotel where that guy did the biggest mass shooting in American history. He was shooting those people from out of the window in a room in Mandalay Bay. And then I got so weirded out thinking about that. And like, you know, that wasn't even that long ago. And now they're just, people don't even think about it. And I'm just walking around this hotel where this horrors, you know, happened. And then I Googled it, and it turns out that the hotel is shut. They've renumbered the floors. So that happened from the 32nd floor. They've renumbered them, and there's no 32nd floor there now. And it's pretty spooky, pretty eerie. But, you know, anyway, I just wanted to give you a bit of macabre trivia. That's the macabre trivia portion of the podcast. Now, if you are one of my patrons, you know that although it's been a couple months since I published a new episode, I have published a bonus episode on Patreon. So if you want to hear more episodes and you want to see what great content is so wonderful on my Patreon that the Daily Mail has stolen it and published it in an article on their page, on their website, yes, that is 100% true. That's the kind of content, that's the level of content. It's stealable over on Patreon. So check that out, the link's in the show notes, and support the show. Thank you. I do have a lot coming up that's developing in my professional life that's exciting, that I can't really talk about. I've talked about it a little bit vaguely on my Patreon, but I can talk about that I'm finished now pretty much with my documentary short that I directed these last 2 years. We're putting the finishing touches just on the tweaking the ending right now, but we're pretty much done, and we're going to be putting it out next year. And I'm so excited to do that. It's the first big thing that I have to show that I've directed. And it's a really great story. And I think it's really touching and important. And I feel like, you know, I forget, because you, in making a film like this, it's 37 minutes long. So it's the most ambitious project I've done to date as a director. I think it's wonderful. I think it's really good, but we've been through like 12 or 13 versions of, you know, adding this or taking this out or tweaking that or rearranging that. So at this point, it's like, you know, you almost get into a cavern of your own making where you don't even know, like, I can have, this could be an Oscar-winning short, and I'm not even aware of it because I'm just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, what are we doing here? Is this even good? You know, like, so I have gotten some feedback from people. I've shown it to a couple people recently, and I've gotten really great feedback on it. A friend of mine who actually did research for the project for me, she just asked me last night, can I watch the short? And I was like, yeah, I mean, it's 37 minutes long. Do you want to spend 37 minutes watching my film? You know, I don't, that's the humility that I have, is understanding how much other people have going on in their own lives that maybe they don't have time to spend 37 minutes watching my film, but you know, she really wanted to see it. So yeah, go ahead and let me know what you think. And she loved it. And she's like, I can't stop crying. It's so good. It's so powerful. And that felt really great. I was just like a reminder, you know, that I'm moving along here and I'm doing work that's important and that's good. And that feels so rewarding to me. So I'm looking forward to more of the same in the new year. And I've been talking to people who are thinking about getting sober, and I find that, like, the more I post about it and the more I talk about my sobriety, the more other people want to talk about, you know, well, maybe I'm interested in that too, you know, like, what was it like for you? And can I ask you some questions? And I'm like, yeah, ask me anything. So it all feels good. It feels good closing out the year, and I'm going to be spending this next few days after Christmas and before New Year's to make my lists, which I've been doing for, I think, like 5 years now, where I make a list of everything I accomplished new, or I guess just everything I accomplished. But a lot of times I find that I've accomplished things in the year that I forgot about that I never did before. And once I write it down, it's like, wow, I really am doing okay. I'm doing good. Because, you know, sometimes it doesn't feel good on a day-to-day basis. And it's good to step back and look at the bigger picture and feel a little bit of encouragement for your damn self and your damn life. So I like to do that. And then I also make a list of everything I want to accomplish in the new year. And it's not like it's not a set in stone list of objectives. It's just, you know, things that I want to accomplish that maybe they're going to stay on the list for 2 years or 3 years, and I'm going to keep writing them until the year that they become accomplished. And it works. If you keep writing it and you keep thinking about it and you keep working toward it, eventually you can accomplish that shit. So I hope you guys are doing the same in your own lives. And it reminds me of a story from The Secret, and the guy who wrote the Chicken Soup for the Soul books talks about this, that he wanted to make $100,000, but he didn't know how he was going to do it. And he just had like no conceivable way that he could think of to make this amount of money. But he just started focusing on that number. And eventually, I think he said like he was in the shower and this idea just hit him about the Chicken Soup for the Soul book. And he wrote the book, and then he ended up doing like $90,000 in sales of that book the first year. And he was like, you know, I didn't make it to 100 that first year, but am I going to say that didn't work just because I made 90,000 instead of 100,000? No, you know, it's not always going to be exact the way that you think it's going to be, but you can get pretty damn close if you focus your energy on moving the entire universe towards what you want. So that's all I'm saying. And if you think I'm crazy for saying that, then actually you're the crazy one. Sorry to say. Okay. The drink of the week is a very exciting new drink. Sometimes I've done some boring drinks because I just didn't have any to do. You know, one episode I did plain water was the drink. Well, not this week. The drink of the week is Three Spirit Elixirs. And in particular, I'm loving the Three Spirit Social Elixir right now. It has all kinds of good plant-powered ingredients that give you a natural euphoric lift without making you buzzed or impaired. It's a complex beverage for adults that does not include alcohol, and I love that. So I like to do just an ounce or two of Three Spirit Social Elixir on the rocks, topped with ginger beer. I have this amazing blood orange ginger beer that I'm using right now. And it's so simple, it's easy, and it's delicious. So I'm having these in the evening now as a little mocktail that I can make easily at home. And guess what else? I have a discount code for my listeners. So if you want to try Three Spirit Elixirs, use discount code PRETENDER for 15% off your order. And I'll put the link to all that information in the show notes for you. And now, the movie of the week is The Verdict. The Verdict is a movie with Paul Newman from 1982. It is directed by Sidney Lumet. The screenplay is by David Mamet. And these are some heavy hitters. Paul Newman is wonderful in this movie. He is a down-on-his-luck, alcoholic lawyer who is looking to right the ship of his life. And I'm not giving this as the movie of the week just because he's an alcoholic. It just happens to be true. This movie was nominated for 5 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor in a Leading Role for Paul Newman, although he sadly did not win. He won later for The Color of Money, and he didn't go to the awards ceremony. Best Actor in a Supporting Role and Best Adapted Screenplay. This is a good movie it's just technically well made, and it's one of those movies that's not at all, like, surreal. There's nothing you have to work through to get through this movie. It's just a very straightforward story with great acting, great directing, and interesting characters. I really loved watching this movie, and it's actually on the top best of lists of several different things. In fact, the Writers Guild ranks it as the number 91 screenplay on the list of its 101 greatest screenplays ever written. And it's on a couple of American Film Institute best movie lists as well. I will stop short from calling this a wholesome movie because it is not wholesome, but I'll tell you the moment in this film when I knew that Paul Newman meant business. In the beginning of the movie, you know, there's several moments where you see his character. He goes to this bar every morning before he goes to the office, and he plays pinball and he drinks, and instead of, like, having a normal breakfast, he goes over to the bar and he's got a beer and a pint glass, and he cracks an egg and he drops the raw egg in the beer, and then Paul Newman actually drinks down the entire beer with the egg, and then he walks out the door. And I thought, holy fucking shit, Paul Newman did not come to this movie to play around, and that's how you know. He's letting you know very early on. And, you know, that's not the only thing he does in the movie that will make your heart move and make you feel something. But it's a good movie. You can watch this movie. You can rent it on YouTube, or you can do what I did and purchase the Blu-ray and watch it at home that way.
Pushing into court 5 days early. I lose my star witness and I can't get a continuance, and I don't care. I'm going up there. I'm going to try it. I'm going to let the jury decide.
All right, guys, thanks for tuning in. I hope you have a wonderful holiday season and a fabulous new year. I'll see you next year. And guess what I've got? I've got an interview I've already done with 2 guests on the podcast. That's going to be coming first thing in January for you to enjoy. Thanks for tuning in. If you like the show, rate and review it. Thanks to my patrons for supporting the show. And thanks you guys for listening. Speak to you soon. Bye.